Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
Word of the Lord, I'm going to find to wrap up a final session on the subject that I've been on the last 3 weeks. The lights are on, but nobody's home. Acts chapter number 8, or chapter number 1, verse 8, and Matthew chapter 12, verse number 43 are my foundation text for this. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Matthew 12:43. And when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I'll return into my house from whence I came out, and whence he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. You may be seated. It's a very simple parable that Christ puts forth in these two verses, and that is that you are appalled at your circumstance and your situation, and so you take steps to remedy that, and you do that by expelling things that are bad, by limiting the negativity in your life, by making changes in behavior, by embracing things that sound better than you have been. But all of the things that you do are simply that you're expelling and you're taking nothing in. And so that's kind of a picture of a lot of Christianity today, that they do a lot of things as far as laying off weights, but they do not realize it's not the laying off that is empowering, it's the taking on. When you take on the power of God, they might cast off depression, but if they don't replace it with joy, their solution will not be long-lived. They might put off addictions, but if they do not find a new substance called the power of God, the addiction of the ministry, the Apostle Paul called it, their addiction will return and they'll find themselves worse than they were. And so Christianity has introduced a terrible peril to the church, and that is that behavior by not committing bad acts is enough. That's not enough. The truth is we must be filled with the power of the living God. And when we look at the problems in America and around the world today, it's very easy to point fingers at all kinds of people. Say it's the problem of single-parent homes. It is because of the failure of the public school system. It's political peril that has consumed us, on and on and on. But the truth is, it's because the church is not powerful enough to take its role. When Jesus Christ spoke to Peter, as I said the other day, everything he said was in future tense, but not just Peter, to the entire apostolic band. Greater works than these shall you do. But I don't see that really happening because the church has decided that we can parallel the disciples' life, the 3 years they walked with Christ, but we need not be introduced to the upper room and we need not be empowered with the Holy Ghost. The truth is, from Acts chapter number 1 all the way to the book of Revelation, it was about people that were endued with the power of the Holy Ghost. And now we've got a whole church in America and around the world that is not empowered, nor do they feel like they need it. They feel like it's just an addendum to what they can have, but it's not really necessary. I know of a church that lost over 1,000 people. A spirit-filled church that lost over 1,000 people to a non-spirit-filled church. How could that happen? Because there was no imperative in the spirit-filled church to make people understand you must have the power of the Holy Ghost to be what God called you to be in the 21st century. When people can leave a church that espouses the baptism of the Holy Ghost and join up with a church that places no necessary and no necessity on the power of the Holy Ghost, it's something bad wrong with that person that professes to be a Christian. For the Bible teaches us that the number one thing a believer should do is to receive the power of the Holy Ghost. Why? because that's the power that was in Christ. And when you are saved, you are to go out and change the world. And you cannot do it without the power of the Holy Ghost and fire. We've got a Sceva church, the seven sons of Sceva. You're familiar with them? The 19th chapter of the book of Acts, verse number 11, it talks about them. Certain Jews that now said, we like what's happening among the apostolics and the apostles and those followers of Christ. And the Bible said they even went so far to call the name of Jesus over people to try to deliver them and help them. But it said the evil spirit said to them, who are you? Paul we know, and Jesus we know, but we don't know you. I would submit to you, ladies and gentlemen, that much of the American church has no identity in hell. They have no idea who that church is. Those demons have no fear of the American church because it's anemic and it is powerless. Well, we can criticize them and point fingers of indictment against them, or we can do what God's called us to do, and that is to seek the face of God and say, God, empower us, that we be not like the seven sons of Sceva when they tried to attempt the miracles of God, that the demon spirits literally attacked them. And the seven sons of Sceva left out, and the Bible said they tore their clothes off of them, and they left bleeding and lacerated because the evil spirit was greater than those that were making professions of Christ and the Apostle Paul. Friend, it's not enough to make a profession. You have to have a possession. You need to be empowered with the power of the Holy Ghost. And I would urge every one of you to let this church not be a compromising church that says we want to be like other churches, but we be a distinctive church that is called out and set apart. And when people talk about us, they talk about us either in great admiration or derision, but they do say there is a difference about that church. They're full of the power of the living God. They're not one of those that also ran. They are a unique group of people that believe that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And His power and the Holy Ghost is a power of reality in our lives today. And so let's talk for a moment about the work of the Holy Ghost. Sometimes when we talk about the work of the Holy Ghost, we think about those grandeur moments in a service where the presence of God is so strong. Somebody is healed, and everybody knows they're healed, and they lay a walker down or throw a crutch down, or they walk out of their wheelchair, or someone that is demon-possessed is suddenly set free, or a drug addict throws his paraphernalia on the altar. And we call those great moments of the Holy Ghost. And friend, I've seen many of them, and I celebrate them. I rejoice in them. Those moments of grandeur when the Holy Ghost is confronted by the devil and the devil is defeated. Everybody in the house knows that Jesus Christ is Lord and the Holy Ghost is real. Those are wonderful moments. But friend, there is something that is even more cardinal in my life, and that is the ever-present, everyday working of the Holy Ghost. In quiet moments, in moments when you are solo and by yourself, where there is no applauding choir and there is no shouting church, but you just know something inside of me is greater than the opposition that is against me. And I took authority over that. And I know it's not my talent, my education, my ability, but praise God, it is what Christ promised me. It is the Holy Ghost and the power that He said that we should have. And so we talk about wisdom and the word of knowledge and faith and healing and work of miracles and discerning all the great gifts of the Holy Ghost. And those are wonderful. And they should dwell and operate in us. But there are so many things that we simply cannot do as Christians if we are not filled with the Holy Ghost. And friend, to compare a Christian without the Holy Ghost to a Christian with the Holy Ghost is to compare a Lamborghini with a Volkswagen. There is a major difference. Praise God. Christians without the Holy Ghost are victimized. Christians with the Holy Ghost are victorious. Christians without the Holy Ghost have to flee. But Christians with the Holy Ghost can resist the devil, and he will have to flee. And so I urge every one of you within the sound of my voice in this building, from the front row to the back, and those of you that are watching online, wherever you are, if you are a professing Christian, demand that the Holy Ghost fill your being. The same Spirit, the Spirit that Christ had without measure, can be your possession. And I promise you, it's night and day. It's life and death. The difference is so astute that anybody can realize there's something different about him. There's something different about her. He's got a power inside of him. Friend, let me submit to you today, number one, that without the Holy Ghost, we don't know how to pray. Remember, the disciples were chagrined that they could not heal a man and a person and deliver them from the devil. And they asked Jesus, why couldn't we work that miracle? And Jesus said, these come not out but by prayer and fasting. The fasting is the crucifying of the flesh, but the praying is the accessing heaven and reaching up and pulling something down inside of you that's unworldly, that's not natural. It is supernatural. Friend, God wants you to walk through this earth not as a natural person, but as a supernatural person. Christ had a body, but he abandoned that body to go away. And now he has another body. We are called the body of Christ. And Christ wants his body to be filled with the power of the living God, the Holy Ghost. And that's the reason why he said, greater works than these shall you do. Not that you would be greater than Christ, but there would be 12, that there would be 120, that there would be 3,000, that there would be a church, there would be a multitude. Finally, there would be a planet that was filled with 1 million, 2 million, 500,000, 5 million, 100 million people that were filled with the same Spirit that was in Christ. What would we do? We would do what the Bible said the disciples did. They that have turned the world upside down have come hither. Ladies and gentlemen, we need a church that can turn this world upside down. Kenosha, Wisconsin reels today because a man was shot in the back, and the answer for that was to kill two more men last night. Friend, we do not understand Dr. King's message that you cannot meet hate with hate. It just simply makes it worse and worse and worse. And there's a cancer growing in America, not because of politics, but because of the anemia of the church. The church of the living God has got to come out of her closet. The governor of New York said churches cannot meet, but you can march and protest. And when they called him on that, he said, oh, we have to let them march and protest, or there would be a tumult, there would be an uproar, there would be a rebellion. But he said, the churches won't do that. There's something wrong when the protesters are stronger than the people of the living God. The church of the living God has got to get out of her closet and out of her pews. But there's no reason to get out if you're the seven sons of Sceva. There's no need to meet the challenge if you're going to meet it with philosophy. You've got to meet it with the power of the Holy Ghost. And that's never going to happen until we fast and pray. And we cannot pray in the flesh as we would. We must pray in the Spirit, praying in the Holy Ghost. I submit to you, brothers and sisters, without the Holy Ghost, we do not even know how to pray. And the majority of the church doesn't have the Holy Ghost. And so we offer pious little prayers that do not threaten the devil, nor do they release angels. But if we would learn to pray in the Holy Ghost, devils would back up and run for hell, and angels would be released to stroll the halls of our public schools and the corridors of our higher learning. We need people that know how to pray, not in the flesh, not in English, not in Spanish, not philosophically, but pray in the Holy Ghost and fire until the heaven rolls back like a canopy and the fire of God dances across the face of this nation. Ladies and gentlemen, we're losing battles, but let me say it ungrammatically, we ain't lost the war yet. Because the Bible tells me that there is a predestined church that is going to rend her heart and not her garments, that is going to wake from her long sleep and realize that it's not the might of man's flesh, but it is the power of the Holy Ghost that is going to bring revival to your house, your home, your school, your city, your state, your nation. Oh, our best days are yet ahead, but we've got to shake ourselves and arouse ourselves, and we've got to get in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Would somebody shout for Jesus right now? Would somebody give God a praise in this place? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. It's good to pray with understanding. It's good to pray for your lost daughter-in-law. It's good to pray for an empty bank account. It's good to pray for a sick friend in the hospital, to pray that which you know. And Paul acknowledged that in Corinthians 14 and 14. I pray in the Spirit and I pray with what I know. But oh, he said this in the very first phrase. If I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. Ladies and gentlemen, there are things that you don't even know you need. That if you were filled with the Holy Ghost would know you need them. Friend, not only do I have the baptism of the Holy Ghost evidenced in my life exactly as it was in the 12 apostles and the 3,000 at Pentecost and throughout the rest of the recorded canon scripture, evidenced by that holy language speaking in tongues when I was baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire in Mooresville, Indiana as a 13-year-old boy on a cold February night. Fire on the ground, snow on the ground outside, but fire came into my heart that night. It forever changed me. Oh, I'd given my life to Christ 3 years before, but that was not the phenomenal experience of being baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire. Friend, when that power came inside of me, it ignited me. It lit me up. It turned me on. It transformed me. It changed me from a boy with a burden to a young man with a vision. Oh, I tell you, the power of the Holy Ghost is the most coveted gift in all of Christianity. Hallelujah! So not just the fact that you receive it and speak with tongues initially. It's that it become your prayer language. Every day of my life, I pray for people that I can remember, but what about those I can't remember? I pray about those needs I know, but what about what I don't know? I pray about what I think is a solution, but what if I don't have the right solution? So every day of my life, I rear back somewhere and say, Holy Ghost, I've done all I know to do. I've prayed all I know to pray. I've addressed every issue I know to address. But oh, now, Holy Ghost, you take over. And from way down inside of me, as the old song said, the prayer wheel starts turning. The wheel in the middle of the wheel begins to churn. Something that is not normal, something that is not natural, something that is not fleshly, something that is not philosophical, something that is not educational, but something that is supernatural. What is it? Oh, can you believe that me in this sinless body can be filled with the same spirit that was in Christ? With all of my frailties, all of my inferiorities, all of my fails, it simply does not matter because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ and His resurrection. He made available to me the same spirit that was in Christ. And I begin to pray in that holy language and praise God things I don't even know. Most of my victories are things I don't even know I battle, because the Holy Ghost runs out ahead of me, praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Did you ever wonder why in this world of anarchy and hatred for the President of the United States, Mr. Obama had more death threats on his life than any president in the history of this country simply because of the color of his skin? They didn't hurt one hair on his head. You know why? He had people out in front of him. He had people beside him. He had people behind him. Ladies and gentlemen, there are so many demons that would like to kill you and take you out and look at you sitting there just a smiling. Say, how could it be? It's because you got the Holy Ghost, and every day of your life, that Holy Ghost is running out ahead of you 100 yards or a mile or two, and it's taking care of demons that thought they were going to take you out. There are demons making plans to take you out tonight or tomorrow, but it don't matter because you have the ability to pray in the Holy Ghost. And when you pray in the Holy Ghost, praise God, the Spirit of God goes before you, and the angels set up ambushments against the enemy. Can somebody praise God that you are filled with the Holy Ghost and you have a language to pray in that you don't even understand? Half a century ago, I preached in Effingham, Illinois, while a young Jewish man that had never been in a Protestant church in his life sat on the back seat of that small church not far from me, 7 or 8 pews away, and laughed and mocked and made fun of me while I preached. But when I gave the altar, a dam burst and the tears rolled down his face. He came and gave his life to Christ and got filled with the Holy Spirit. And what he said to me was shocking even to me, because when I had got through, I began to pray in the Spirit. And he said, "Where did you learn to speak pretty perfect Yiddish?" I said, "Yiddish? I don't know nothing about Yiddish." He said, "You don't know what you said to me." And he began to tell me what I'd said to him. I rebuked him for his laughter and his scorn in his own language. And then I presented the gospel to him in his own language. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you, you've got something inside of you that you don't have any idea how powerful it is. Can I urge every one of you to receive it? Can I urge every one of you to release it? Can I urge you every day of your life to pray with understanding? Sort all through the needs you know about, but learn to pray in the Holy Ghost so the angels can be out advanced for you, so the errand runners can come to you, so demons can be brought to naught, angels can be released, and you're just sailing along your own merry way, and you're oblivious to the fact that demons are falling to the left and demons are falling to the right, and doors are being opened and doors are being closed. Why? You've got the Holy Ghost inside of you, and you have learned to pray in the Spirit of the living God. Oh, Holy Ghost. Right now, somebody would turn the Holy Ghost loose in this building, it'd put money in your bank account tomorrow. If somebody would turn the Holy Ghost loose, it would save your mother-in-law this week. If somebody would turn the Holy Ghost loose, it would open the door and you'd be employed by Friday. Praise God. That's what the Holy Ghost does. Be filled with the Holy Ghost and let Him do what He came to do. Jesus said, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall have. Paul continues, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself make intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts, no, I love this phrase, what is the mind of the Spirit? Friend, God's got plans for you that you don't even know about. you haven't even thought about. But the mind of the Spirit knows them. And if you would develop a life where the Holy Ghost prayed through you, you would say, wow, this just happened. No, it didn't just happen. The Holy Ghost slapped some devils around. The Holy Ghost assigned some angels. The Holy Ghost broke down the stubborn will of some men in your life that were opposed to you. Have you ever had anybody hate you, fall in love with you? I have. I've had people that despise me, and suddenly they'd begin to bless me and say, I don't know why. You know, I used to not like you. I just love those little phrases. They don't mean anything to the carnal ear, but to we that walk in the Spirit, they mean, I used to not like you, but man, I just forgot to where I really like you. I'm going to do this for you. What happened? They don't know that I prayed in the Spirit, and the Holy Ghost got out there and got in their old hard heart and took away their hatred and their prejudice. Instead of an enemy, I've got a friend, praise God. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Filled with the Holy Ghost until we just can't stand still. We just got to praise the Lord. We just have to glorify the Lord and magnify the Lord and let the power of God literally resonate out of our being. Hallelujah! There is a potential that is untapped. There is a possibility that is unrealized because the church of the living God thinks it's just about doctrine and philosophies and doing what Jesus would have us to do, when the truth is it is being empowered with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Oh, hallelujah. What is the mind of the Spirit? Mind of the Spirit is for me to overcome every enemy, every obstacle, to quench every fiery dart of the wicked one, Ephesians said. That doesn't happen unless you're filled with the Holy Ghost. But ye beloved, building up yourself on your most holy faith. Praying. But it didn't stop there. There's a prepositional phrase. In the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. People that don't have the Holy Ghost can't pray in the Holy Ghost. But friend, once you have been baptized in the Holy Ghost, you know what it is to get down there just so heavy, burdened, and weighted down. And you begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. And you try to do your best to explain your feelings and your needs. But after a while, it feels so inadequate, and you just give up with groanings that cannot be uttered. And words that cannot be understood by the English-Spanish mind. You begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. And suddenly things begin to change. Suddenly things begin to change. Demons lose their hold. Their fingers come unclenched and they back away. Jealous angels suddenly have to lay at your feet the perfect mind of the Spirit, the will of God. Why? I'm praying in the Holy Ghost. I'm praying in the Holy Ghost. I'm praying in the Holy Ghost. Said, I don't know what that means. Friend, you have no idea what you are missing. You have no idea what you're missing if you don't know what the phrase praying in the Holy Ghost means. It means, praise God, coming in as meek as a lamb and leaving as bold as a lion. It means coming in bent over and leaving as straight as an arrow. It means coming in as sad as you could possibly be and leaving with the gladness of God in your heart. It means coming in so despondent that you can't hardly put one foot in front of another and walking out with a spring in your step and saying, it's going to be all right. The Lord's going to make a way somehow. Oh, the Lord's going to fight my battle. My enemies are going to come against me, but they're going to flee seven ways. Oh, that's what it is to pray in the Holy Ghost. Suddenly you just know everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to... Why? I've been praying in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let me hurry on. I'm out of time already. And I'm just getting started. But let's talk about this. If you don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you don't even know what to say. You don't know what to pray, and you don't know what to say. Say to who? To yourself. Oh, David encouraged himself. The best counselor I got, my second best counselor is Becky Fender. But the best counselor I got is Steve Fender. Just said, all right, buddy, this is the way it's going to be. You're going to shape up, and you're going to access what God's made available to you, and you're going to overcome the devil. Hallelujah. Don't know what to say to yourself if you don't have the Holy Ghost. You don't know what to say to your fellow man. You don't know what to say to the devil. You don't know what to say to God. But friend, when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, God gives you a whole new vocabulary. You know, we talk to people about, you know, as Christians, you shouldn't use those words and you shouldn't curse. And we see what they say on Facebook, and we know that they're way off the mark to be using that kind of language. But friend, again, it's not the empty house we're looking for. It's the full house. It's not because you finally discipline yourself or you don't use that word and this word. No. It's because those words are no longer in your heart. And you've got words that are pregnant with power. Instead of being cancerous with curse, they're pregnant with power. And when you speak, the Bible said they never heard a man speak like Jesus spoke. He could speak to the devil, and the devil would subdue. He could speak to man, and man was conquered. It was what he said. Let me tell you this. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, here's a shocking verse for you. You don't even know what to say about Jesus. Well, you say, I've got some good friends that are Christian, and they're not spirit-filled. Let me tell you what, on their best day, their praise can't come close to you on your worst day. You just can't do it. Friend, this thing is not done in the flesh. Our weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. There are no mighty weapons through God if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost. I can tell you that. You're out there flailing away on your flesh, doing the best you can, and I commend you for that. But, oh, let's look at this verse. Wherefore, I give you to understand. Whoa. I love the Apostle Paul. He was one tough sucker. I've been studying the Apostle Paul for way more than half of my life. And every day, he busts my chops. It's just amazing what the guy said. Next to Jesus, he's the first man. Even before I see mom and dad, I said, where's Paul? I got to talk to this guy. He walked me through. He made me understand that there's no limitation to the power of God. He said, I give you to understand. Somebody says that. That's like your mama. Let me tell you something. I give you to understand. I brought you into this world. I'll take you out. Don't tell me that I've paid for every bite of food you've ever put in your mouth and every shred of clothes you've had on your... I give you to understand. Paul said, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God called Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord. This is the phrase. No man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Got some bad news for all you Christian folk out there. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you can't say Jesus is Lord. You can say He's Savior, but you can't say He's Lord. It takes the Holy Ghost to get inside of you. Whoa! When the Holy Ghost gets inside of you, it don't matter what's going on. You say, wait just a minute. Lord, Jesus is Lord. What does that mean? That means He's over everything. That means He's the top. It means He's the Alpha. It means He's the beginning. It means He's the only one. It means beside there is no other. What does that mean? That means when I'm facing an enemy, I say, wait just a minute, Goliath. Jesus is Lord. I won't do that if I got the Holy Ghost. I'll try to use Saul's armor. But when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, oh, you won't be like the sons of Sceva that call the name of Jesus Christ over somebody and get yourself beat up and your clothes ripped off of your little body and walk out of there leaping and dying and bleeding. Oh, no. When you say Jesus is Lord, the devil will say, Paul, I know. Jesus, I know, and Michael, I know you too, because you just said Jesus is Lord, and so I'm taking my cancer back, I'm taking my poverty back, I'm taking my fear back, just let me get out of here, Friend, there's a place where we do not have to try to have detente with the devil or appease an evil spirit. There is a place where the devil will beg us like he begged Jesus. Please, Jesus, just let us go into the pigs. Just let us go into the pigs. I'll leave your daughter alone. I'll leave your son alone. I'll get out of your house. I'll get out of your pocketbook. I'll get out of your heart. I'll get out of your eyes. I'll get out of your liver. I'll get out of your kidneys. Just let me go live with the pigs. Because you said, Jesus is Lord. And you didn't say it religiously. You said it with the power of the Holy Ghost. It's the authority. Jesus said, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall have power. Stand on your feet. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Can I make one more point quickly? And when they bring you into the synagogues and the magistrates and the powers, take you no thought how or what thing you shall answer or what you shall say, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what you to do. Without the Holy Ghost, you don't know what to say in the time of conflict. But oh, when you get the Holy Ghost. They said, who do you say? We caught her in the very act of adultery. They thought they had Jesus in the corner. But that same spirit that's in me dwell in Christ. Let me run it backwards. The same spirit that's in me was in him. And so he said, he without stone. They never thought saw that coming. Oh, it was a sucker punch. He without sin, let him cast the first stone. And they begin to leave one right after another. And Jesus said, woman, where are thy accusers? In other words, the conflict is over because I had the right word to say. Friend, we have no idea. We have no idea. We Pentecostals, I'm a little old Pentecostal boy. And we thought the Holy Ghost was to make you talk in tongues and fall on the floor. We had no idea it was to walk into the boss's office and say, boss, I'm the best employee you've got. And I'm just going to have another $150 a week. And him say, you know, I've been thinking about that. He has no idea why he just fired two people yesterday and just gave you a raise. It's because you had the word for the conflict. The conflict. Life is nothing but conflicts. That's all it is. A few days and full of trouble. But praise God when you can say Jesus is Lord and you're full of the Holy Ghost. Suddenly conflicts are what you feed on. You say nothing better than a good conflict because I'm going to have a word from the Holy Ghost. And my adversary is going to become my armor bearer. My enemy is going to become my friend. My predator is going to be the one that God uses to provide for me. Why? Because I'm full of the Holy Ghost and he can do nothing else. If you're in this room tonight and you don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, run, do not walk to this altar and say, God, baptize me now. If you're here and you're filled with the Holy Spirit,